All right. Good evening, church. Our text for this evening is Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to 10. Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to 10. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for this evening hour that we can come before your throne room bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. And we thank you for the privilege of being able to call you Abba, our loving Heavenly Father, all because of what you've done for us in and through your Son. We thank you, blessed Lord, that love has been proven to us by you leaving glory for us and coming and shedding your blood on the cross. And while we were yet sinners, O Lord, you died for us on the cross. You rose again from the dead. You're seated at the right hand of God the Father, and you are interceding for us. We thank you that you have come to dwell in us by your Spirit. And we thank you that you lead us into all truth. So Lord, this evening hour, as we look into the pages of your word, we want to hear your voice and not the voice of man. Open our eyes that we may perceive wonderful truths out of thy holy law. Write your word upon our minds and upon our hearts. Come and transform us, O blessed Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's once again go through the outline of Revelation. The outline of Revelation. The key theme is Jesus Christ, the victor. The key verses are Revelation chapter 1 verse 19 and Revelation chapter 17 verse 14. The things which you have seen is in chapter 1, where John's vision of the exalted Christ is seen. The things which you have seen. John's vision of the exalted Christ, chapter 1. The things which are, chapters 2 and 3. That is the message to the seven churches. The things which are. And then the things which shall be hereafter. You see that in chapters 4 right up to chapter 22. And the outline is based on Revelation chapter 1 verse 19. The things which you have seen, the things which are, the things which shall be hereafter. The things that shall be hereafter is right from chapter 4 right up to chapter 22. And what is it? We see the throne in heaven where God is worshipped as the creator in chapter 4. And we see in chapter 5, God is worshipped as the redeemer. And then from chapter 6 right on to chapter 19, we see the tribulation on earth, the wrath of God falling upon the earth. And the first half of the tribulation is in chapter 6 to chapter 9. The middle of the tribulation is chapter 10 to chapter 14. And the last half of the tribulation is chapter 15 to chapter 19. Then we see the kingdom of Christ in chapter 20. And then the new heavens and the new earth in chapter 21 and 22. Now Revelation chapter 12 and 13. That's where we're going to start today. We start with Revelation 12 verses 1 to 10. Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 13 introduces us to three key characters in the drama of the last half of the tribulation, the last half of the wrath of God falling upon the earth. Number one, we see Satan, the dragon. Number two, we see the false Christ. The false Christ, the Antichrist, the beast. And then we see number three, the false prophet. These three are in a sense an evil trinity. An evil trinity opposing the true God and his people on earth. And while these events will be of special significance to God's people at that time in the future, the message today, the message of these two chapters, chapter 12 and chapter 13, can definitely encourage suffering saints during any age. And so these chapters, chapter 12 and 13, applies to the church that is going through persecution today. Of course, the events will happen in the future. In chapter 12 and chapter 13. Now Satan is the great enemy of the church. And what is he doing? He fights against God and against God's people. How does he do that? By accusing the saints in heaven and attacking the saints on earth. However, Christ has overcome this old serpent and he gives victory to his people. The adversary always works through human means. And in this case, the beast or the false Christ or the Antichrist and the false prophet. It's through these human means that Satan works. Satan is an imitator, a counterfeit, and he seeks to control people by means of deception. The beast, the false Christ or the Antichrist, is the future world dictator, and he promises to solve the pressing problems of the nations. And the false prophet is his propaganda minister. For a time it appears that this satanic trio, this satanic trinity, seems to be succeeding. But then their world empire begins to collapse. The nations assemble for one final battle, and Jesus Christ appears, and the battle is over. Now, has this not been the pattern for the church's conflict with evil over the centuries? And that's what we see over the centuries. Whether the ruler has been a Caesar or a Hitler or a Stalin or an agnostic humanist, Satan is the one who has energized and motivated them. The ruler has promised the people all that they want, all that they need, only to lead them into more and more of slavery, bondage. And he has usually had an associate to promote his program to the people and to entice them, if not force them to obey. And often their submission amounted almost to worship. That's what we see in the case of every world dictator. God has permitted his people to suffer under the despotism of these rulers. But he's also enabled his people, his own people, to experience great victories, even when they have been killed, when they have been martyred. They have been true overcomers. And then God has brought deliverance. But then we see the cycle repeating itself. And with each succeeding dictatorship, worse than the previous one. Now the climax will come with the appearance of the Antichrist in his time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 1 to 4. Now brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now in Revelation chapter 12, we see the dragon. We find Satan, the dragon. Revelation chapter 12. The whole chapter is about this dragon. We're just going through verses 1 to 10 today. We won't have time to finish the chapter. We see John's vision. It opens with two signs or two wonders in heaven. Revelation 12 verses 1 to 6. Now a great sign, and some translation would say wonder. Now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God in his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. The first sign is a woman giving birth to a son. Now, since this child is identified as Jesus, we look at that in Revelation 12:5, Revelation 19:15, and Psalm 2 verse 9. Since this child is identified as Jesus Christ, this symbolic woman can be none other than the nation of Israel. Revelation chapter 12 verse 5. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Revelation 19 verse 15 we see. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. That's no one else but the Lord Jesus. And in Psalm 2 prophetically speaks of the Messiah. Psalm 2 verse 9, you shall break them with a rod of iron, you shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. It was through the nation of Israel that Jesus Christ came into the world. Romans chapter 1 verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. In Romans chapter 9 verses 4 to 5 we see, who are Israelites? To whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises? Of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. Now by further comparing the description in Revelation 12 verse 1 with Genesis, in Genesis 37 verse 9 and 10, the identification seems very certain. In Revelation 12:1, we see, now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. And then we see Joseph's dream in Genesis 37, verses 9 to 10. Then he dreamed still another dream, and told it to his brothers, and said, look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? Now in the Old Testament, Israel is often compared to a woman. Israel is often compared to a woman, and even a woman who is in travail, going through birth pangs. Isaiah chapter 54 verse 5, for your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Isaiah 66 verse 7. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Jeremiah chapter 3 verses 6 to 10. The Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done?
She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree and there played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, return to me. But she did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw that for all that, all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also. So it came to pass through her casual harlotry that she defiled the land and committed adultery with the stones and trees. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah has not turned to me with a whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord. Again we see Israel as a woman. In Micah chapter 4 verse 10. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in birth pangs. For now you shall go forth from the city, you shall dwell in the field, and to Babylon you shall go. There you shall be delivered. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 3. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. So Israel is often depicted as a woman, and even a woman in travail, going through childbirth. The apostate world system is compared to a harlot. Revelation chapter 17 verses 1 and 2. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So Israel, the woman, the apostate world system, the harlot, and the church is the pure bride. Revelation chapter 19 verses 6 to 8. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Her wife is the bride, the church. And to her, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So the church is compared to a pure bride. Now according to Revelation chapter 12 verse 5, the son is born and then is caught up to the throne of God. Revelation 12 verse 5. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. So we have symbolized here the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we see his victorious ascension. But nothing is said about either his life or his death. The punctuation in the middle of the verse represents 33 and a half years of history. His life and his death. The woman with child is the first wonder. The great dragon is the second wonder, or second sign. Revelation 12:9 makes it clear that this great dragon is none else but Satan. Revelation 12 verse 3, let me read to you. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven diadems on his head. And Revelation 12:9 makes it clear who this great dragon is. Revelation 12:9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now the color is fiery red, and red is associated with death. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 4. And another horse, fiery red, went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. So the color red is associated with death. And Satan is a murderer. Jesus told the unbelieving Jews in John chapter 8 verse 44, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Revelation 12 verse 3, "And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head." Now these heads and horns and crowns will appear again in Revelation 13 verse 1 and also in Revelation 17 verse 3. Revelation 13 1, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name." The beast is none else but the Antichrist. The sea is the nations, the people. In Revelation 17 verse 3, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns." What do these heads represent? The heads represent mountains. Revelation 17 9, "Here is the mind which has wisdom. 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits." The horns, what do they represent? They represent kings. Revelation 17 verse 12, "The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast." Now we shall study the meaning of all these symbols in more detail later as we get to that passage. The dragon was cast out of heaven. Revelation 12 verse 9. "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." The dragon was cast out of heaven. And what does he do? He takes with him a third of the angels. Revelation 12 verse 7. "A war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought." Now these angels are spoken of as stars. In Revelation 12 verse 4, "His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven." So one third of the angels are cast out along with him. Revelation 12 verse 4. "His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born." We'll come to that a little later. Daniel chapter 8 verse 10, "And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them." So these stars are the angels. One third of the angels are dragged down along with Satan, they cast out. Revelation 12 verse 9, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now this evidently is a reference to the fall of Satan. When Satan and his hosts revolted against God, we see in Isaiah 14 verses 12 to 15, "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.' Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." Now, this casting out that is described in Revelation 12 verses 7 to 10 is yet in the future. It is yet in the future. Just as soon as a child was born, what did Satan do? Satan tried to destroy him. "And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born." Now this conflict, we said this morning also, this conflict between Satan and the woman began soon after the fall of man. When man fell into sin, in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 we see, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Throughout the Old Testament history, Satan tried to prevent the birth of the Redeemer.
there was always a dragon standing by, wanting to destroy Israel, wanting to destroy the ancestors of the Messiah. Pharaoh is called a dragon. Ezekiel 29 verse 3, speak and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers. Other versions would say monster. The great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which had said, my river is mine own, and I have made it for myself. Nebuchadnezzar is also called a dragon. In Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 34, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out. Now at one critical point, that royal line of David was limited to one little boy. We saw that this morning. His name was Joash. 2 Kings chapter 11 verse 1 to 3. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs. Thank you, Vanna. Thank you. She arose and destroyed all the royal heirs. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered. And they hid him and his nurse in the bedroom from Athaliah, so that he was not killed. So he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord for 6 years, while Athaliah reigned over the land. When Jesus Christ was born, Satan used King Herod to destroy him. To try to destroy him. Couldn't destroy him. Tried to destroy him. Matthew 2 verses 1 to 18. Let me read you the whole passage. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him. And Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, a star which had been seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasuries, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Then you see the flight into Egypt. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. You see, Satan thought that he had succeeded when he used Judas to betray the Lord and hand him over to be crucified. But the cross was actually Satan's defeat. And they overcame him, that is Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 12 verse 11. Even today, Satan has access to heaven. What does he do? He accuses God's people. But he cannot dethrone
the exalted Savior. What is his strategy? His strategy is to persecute God's people and devour God's people if possible. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Satan has a special hatred towards the Jewish people. And what you see as anti-Semitism is nothing but from the pit. It is from Satan. And Satan has been the power behind anti-Semitism from the days of Pharaoh and Haman. We see this in the book of Esther. And Satan has been the power behind Hitler and Stalin. Now finally, in the middle of the tribulation, what will happen? There will come a huge wave of anti-Semitism which the world has never seen before. And by the way, that's already building up. It's already building up all across the globe. The Jews are the most hated community in the world today. Revelation chapter 12, verse 6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, and they should feed her there 1260 days. What will happen? God will protect his people. Those 3.5 years, 1260 days is 3.5 years. In Revelation chapter 11 verse 2 we read, but leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. That is 1260 days. Revelation 13:5. And when he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Now apart from the 1,44,000 which you have seen earlier, who are sealed and they are protected, there will be a believing remnant of Jews who will survive this very troublesome time of tribulation on earth. Now we are not told where God will protect them. Exactly where, we do not know. Many speculate it will be probably Petra. And we really don't know where God will protect them or who it is that will take care of them. Matthew 24 verses 15 to 21 will take on a special meaning for those believing Jews at that time who live in the end days. Matthew 24 verses 15 to 21. You must take note of what is in the parenthesis. Matthew 24 verses 15 to 21. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. Note specially the parenthesis in Matthew 24 verse 15. Whoever reads, let him understand. While this is happening in the future, remember there is one thing which will always remain on earth. Heaven and earth shall pass away. What did Jesus say? But my word shall not pass away. So people who read at that time, they'll understand. Now today, how does this apply for us today? You and I, we are involved in a very similar conflict today. The earlier you grasp this truth, the better, because you realize that you're fighting a battle. The Christian life is not a playground, it is a battlefield. It's a battlefield. From the day you are saying that Jesus is my Savior and Lord, from that very moment you are born of God's Spirit, from that very moment the battle starts. It begins. It begins. When does it end? It ends only when you see Jesus face to face. So get ready. You are in the battleground. You have no time in the battlefield. You have no rest. You have no rest. You can't lay down your armor, you can't lay down your weapons. You are constantly in a battle. The earlier you recognize this, the the more victorious you can be. Because you recognize that you're standing on victory ground and you fight from victory, you're not fighting for victory. And you have been given all that authority because you are in Christ. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Remember, He is King of Kings, He is Lord of Lords, He is the Captain of the Heavenly Armies, He is the Lion of Judah. He fights your battles for you. He is ahead of you, He is behind you. He surrounds you with the joy of His presence and He fills you with His Holy Spirit. His glory is your rear guard and you can fight because He fights for you. And you are victorious. If you understand this truth and grasp this truth, you recognize you are involved in a conflict with Satan. Every moment, there is a battle going on. And you recognize that you are fighting the enemy. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Listen, the real enemy is not the one who's yelling at you or persecuting you or shouting at you or, you know, creating trouble for your life. The real enemy is the unseen one, the unseen enemy. That's the real enemy you and I are actually fighting. And so don't get caught up by the one who's actually hitting you or striking you or, you know, pulling you down or persecuting you. Recognize the true enemy, the unseen enemy behind the physical enemy that you see, and there you fight the battle. You are given the authority to crush those forces of darkness because you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. The victory is already yours and you can win this battle. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What is Satan out to do? What is he up to? He is out to destroy the church. And our victory can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So we stand on victory ground and we can fight the victory against the enemy. We can fight from victory against the enemy, and we are victorious by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Revelation chapter 12 verses 7 to 12. The next scene. The next scene in this whole cosmic drama is a war in heaven. Revelation 12 verses 7 to 12. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out of the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now scripture makes it very clear, the Bible makes it very clear, that Satan has access to heaven even today. And we see this in Job. In Job chapter 1, chapter 2. I read to you Job 1 verses 6 to 12. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Every time I read that verse, I keep saying, Lord, please don't talk to the devil about me. So Satan answered the Lord and said, thus Job, fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household and around all that he has on every side?
You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. You know, look at the confidence that the Lord has with regard to Job. You know, it's like putting a trump card in front of Satan and saying, "Have you seen my servant Job?" And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And you can read the rest of the story. You see, once Satan was the highest of God's angels, but he rebelled against God and he was cast down. We saw that in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15. Now, interestingly, as God's church faithfully serves Christ and wins the lost, what will Satan do? Satan is also cast down and he's defeated. And that's why we must fight from victory. As the church advances, there is no such thing as a neutral mode for the church. There is no such thing as being on the defensive. No. The church must constantly be on the offensive, because we have right to be on the offensive. And no battle is won when you're on the defensive. Battles are won only when you're on the offensive. Every captain of every army would know that. Battles are won only when we are on the offensive. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." In Luke 10, verses 17 to 20, we see, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.'" And that's true. In the name of Jesus alone will these demons be subject. The demons are frightened when we use the name of Jesus. No other name. At the name of Jesus, they tremble. "And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you.'" The spirits are subject to you. Alright? Don't forget that. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, these evil spirits are subject to you, because you belong to the Lord Jesus, and you can use the authority that Christ has given you, and in his name these demons will be subject. They'll be subject to you. But Jesus is saying, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's most important. That's most important. Matthew 16, verse 18. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Matthew 12:29. "For how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house?" You see, when you begin to fight the battle in the spiritual realm and you begin to pray and you command these forces of darkness to flee in Jesus' name, what will happen? The person whom you are praying for, you are binding the spirits that are oppressing that person, or that person is caught by those spirits. But in the name of Jesus, you're binding those spirits and commanding those spirits to leave, to flee in the name of Jesus. What are you doing? You're binding the strong man. And when you bind the strong man, you can plunder his goods. In other words, you can get that man who is under the bondage of the enemy delivered. And that's what you and I as church are called to do. I was talking to these two young girls who come from a Hindu background today in church this morning. And they have this great burden. Just two sisters and the whole family, they are the only ones who are saved. Malavika and Nivedita. They're the only ones saved in that family. And they have a great burden. And they're now giving me names of their mother's sisters and their, you know, others who they're praying for. And I'm teaching them how to pray. How to pray. And they're saying, "It's working, Pastor. It's working. We're praying for Daddy like this, and we see that he's more pliable. I mean, he's more susceptible to the gospel. He's opening up." Suddenly the demons will, you know what you call it?
alagum. You know, sometimes it does happen. They suddenly just, you know, but then you bind them in the name of Jesus. You have the authority to do so. And then you declare and decree that in the name of Jesus they are set free. And what happens in that realm? Those demons are bound, and these people who are caught in the clutches of darkness are released. And that's what the church is called to do. That's what we're called to do. That's how the church should advance. That's how the church should grow. You know, not by church transfer. The church grows when the kingdom of darkness is shattered, and people who are bound by the enemy are set free. That's real church growth. Not from one pool of water, one fish tank to another fish tank. That's not church growth. That's not church growth. Well, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house? Of course, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it meant Satan's ultimate defeat. John 12, verses 31 to 33. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. So on the cross, he crushed the head of the serpent. And therefore, the enemy has no power, no authority over people whom we can claim for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you begin to claim them, and you begin to intercede on their behalf, Satan's power over them is crushed. And Satan will one day be cast out of heaven. One day he will lose, he will be out of the heavenlies forever. And then finally he'll be cast into hell. Revelation 12 verses 7 to 10. One day he'll be cast out of heaven. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world, was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. So Satan will one day be cast out of heaven, and then he will finally be cast into hell. Revelation 20 verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Let me tell you this. Hell was not made for man. Hell was made for the devil and the demons. When man rejects the love of God in Christ, he is willfully choosing to enter into hell. But hell was not made for man. God does not desire that any should perish. God desires that all should be saved. But when man by his willful choice rejects the love of God and throws his fists against God and says, I don't need you anymore and I don't want you, then there's no other choice. There is no other destiny but eternal hell. The redemption plan of God is actually the heartbeat of God. That's the heartbeat of God. He does not desire that any should perish. He does not want anyone to perish. He doesn't destine anybody to go to hell. Don't ever believe anyone who tells you that God destines people to go to hell. No. You know, predestination is for what purpose? Predestination is to conform you and me to the image of Jesus. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world was laid, to be holy and blameless before him in love. That was the purpose of God's choice. God's choice is to make us like Jesus. When we choose not to accept his choice over us, there is nothing else that God can do. So Satan will one day be cast out of heaven and then finally cast into hell. Now, what is this celestial conflict all about? The fact that Michael led God's angels to victory, that's very significant because Michael is identified with the nation of Israel. Michael is Israel's prince, or Israel's angel. Israel's protector. You know, Gabriel is God's messenger. When God spoke to Mary, when God speaks, He speaks by sending Gabriel. And He spoke to Zechariah, father of John the Baptist. Who spoke? Gabriel. I stand before the presence of God, He tells Zechariah. He spoke to Mary. Michael is identified with the nation of Israel. Daniel chapter 10 verses 10 to 21. Let me read to you the whole passage. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And He said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While He was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then He said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. When He had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace to you, be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. These are all, the force of darkness in the heavenlies. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. Michael is the angel for Israel. Daniel chapter 12 verse 1. At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. That's Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble. That's the tribulation. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Now the name Michael means who is like God. That's the meaning of the word. Who is like God. And this certainly parallels Satan's egocentric attack on Yahweh. What did Satan say? In Isaiah 14 verse 14, I will be like the Most High. That title can never be grabbed. He lusted after that. I will be like the Most High. But Michael was given the title, and it means who is like God. Who is like God? Who is like God? There is no one like God. And Satan has no right to say at all. And that's the reason why he fell, when he said, I will be like the Most High. Apparently the devil's hatred for Israel will spur him to make one final assault against the throne of God. But just one angel is enough. Michael. He will be defeated by Michael and the heavenly host. Revelation 12, 7 to 10. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. We'll stop here now. God willing, next Sunday we'll come back again to the same portion of scripture and we'll complete our study of Revelation chapter 12. God willing, next Sunday. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Habel, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time. Lord, thank you for the word that